Well, good morning again. Good morning.
Good morning.
Whew, okay. Just checking. Take your Bibles if you've got them, please, and turn to Luke chapter 7. There will be no PowerPoint this morning. I didn't really think I could improve on just reading the text, so there was no real point in doing a PowerPoint. At least I didn't think there was. So be turning over there, and I appreciate Ryson reading Hebrews 11, 1 through 6 for us, because the idea that we have to understand that it is impossible to please God without faith. And that's what this lesson is about. It is about faith, forgiveness, and love. Faith, forgiveness, and love. But it starts with faith. And we must believe that God is, and that verse in Hebrews 11, 6 says, we must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That's two different things. One is just, is there a God? Yes. And the second part there is a matter of faith, of if I seek Him, will I be rewarded? Well, we want to know that. Because who's going to follow Jesus if we don't feel like we're going to be rewarded? Who's going to seek God if we don't feel like we're going to be rewarded? So our faith is not just that there is a God, but that if we seek Him, and always notice that the action of man comes first, if we seek Him, God will reward us. God acts when man acts. So that's what we're talking about this morning, the idea of faith. And we're going to be in Luke chapter 7, verse 31. And before we begin with that verse, let me tell you this. You can't make some people happy. Now you're sitting there going, well, that's easy. I'm married. I know that. Both men and women are giggling to themselves, thinking it's the other party that is the one that can't be pleased. And you're both right. But I will tell you this. When you're dealing with someone in religious matters, unless they have faith, you can't make them happy. Have you ever talked to somebody about that? They always have some question, right? What about this obscure thing? What about this? How many angels can fit on the head of a pin? Whatever the case may be. They always have some question that keeps them from being a Christian. What they don't have is faith. They don't have faith. They don't believe that if they seek God, He'll reward them. They have not come to faith in Jesus Christ to understand who He is and say, Lord, not my will be done but Yours. They're still struggling with their own will, and they're putting up these defensive things to keep you from exposing that. So without faith, you can't make people happy. And this was the problem Jesus had with the religious leaders of His time. They did not believe who He was. They did not have faith. And because they did not have faith, you couldn't make them happy. Jesus here has just spoken in this chapter to the disciples of John the Baptist. Those of you who are familiar with this, John, of course, was the forerunner of Christ, as a prophet said he would be. He comes and preaches a baptism for repentance and says, there's one coming after me who's mightier than me. That is Jesus Christ. And then John is in jail. He's in jail for calling out the adulterous relationship of a Herod. And while he's in jail, he sends his disciples to Jesus and asks them a simple question. Are you the one? What John wants to know is his whole life, his whole religious career, was it worth it? Have I seen the Christ? Can I go to God in peace? And Jesus in that moment says, tell John this, and he starts healing people. And what Jesus is doing is fulfilling prophecy that John would recognize, and without saying it, he's saying, yes, I am He. As the disciples of John go back to him, Jesus says, John came and he was a rough-looking guy and he had a weird diet of grasshoppers and whatnot. And do you think that made people happy? No. I come along and I eat and I dine with people. Do you think that makes them happy? No. Do you know what the difference is? They didn't have faith either in John or in Jesus. And without faith, you just can't make people happy. Let's look at verse 31. This is we're setting up this little verse that Jesus is going to quote here. Luke 7, 31 reads like this. To what then shall I compare the people of this generation, and what are they like? This is Jesus being exasperated. He's saying, you just can't make them happy. They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not weep. For John the Baptist has come eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say, he has a demon. The Son of Man has come, eating and drinking, and you say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. So what is Jesus saying here? This little verse is, we play you a happy song, you don't like it. We play you a sad song, you don't like it either. You could not make these people happy because they did not have faith. The people were happy. If you look back up in that verse there, the people had accepted John's baptism. They glorified God. Do you know who had not? The Pharisees. Why? Because they did not have faith. And then Jesus says this phrase that people misquote quite a bit about John having a demon. You've heard the country song, Have a Beer with Jesus. That idea of Jesus was just a commoner like me. He's out there drinking beer and slugging people in the bar just like me and George Jones. And they'll appeal to this verse. And they'll say, see, it says right there. It's not what it says. It neither says that John the Baptist had a demon, nor does it say that Jesus was a drunkard. Did you catch that? This is Jesus quoting what people say. And Jesus is not saying that either of those things are true. Look what he says here. Verse 33, John the Baptist has come, eating no bread, drinking no wine. You say he has a demon. Now think about this for just a moment. Is Jesus really saying John the Baptist had a demon? Well, of course not. Well, the same parallel phrase is used in the next verse. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking. You say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Jesus was a friend of tax collectors and sinners, but he was not a glutton, a drunkard, nor did John the Baptist have a demon. So with that set up, Jesus is going to go eat at someone's house, right? This is the difference. John lived out in the country. He was a rough man. He was not of the society, so to speak. Jesus is somebody you could have over for dinner. And a Pharisee named Simon, same name as the Apostle Peter, invites him over to his house. And this is what we're going to study this morning. The idea that you have to have faith, then forgiveness, then love. Because that is the order of things here, and that is the order of things in our life. So look at verse 36. We're going to read the first section of this incident. We're going to look through verse 40, and then we'll take a break and read the rest of it. So Luke chapter 7, verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiping them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. Jesus, answering him, said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he, this is Simon, answered, say it, teacher. First of all, what was the question everybody had about Jesus? Is he the Christ? We just studied in our Wednesday night Bible study from Deuteronomy 18. Is he the prophet? Notice that Simon here has lowered him. He's not even asking if he's the Christ. He's not even asking if he's the prophet. He's got him lowered to a prophet. Right? So clearly the Christ would have known. Clearly the prophet would have known. This man is not even a prophet because he doesn't recognize the woman touching him as a sinner. Do you see how the Pharisees had it all wrong? Because they didn't believe who Jesus was, because they didn't understand what he was there to do, they didn't get it. Did Jesus know this? Of course Jesus knew this. This was the point of the exercise, not something that slipped up on Jesus. And Jesus saw her faith. In a healing story about Jesus with a paralytic, there are so many people around the house where Jesus is that there's a paralyzed man. They can't get him to Christ. So his friends actually dig open the roof, and they put this man down through the roof to see Jesus. And the Bible there says Jesus saw their faith. Saw their faith. The word faith was not mentioned in this text, but it will be mentioned. But so far it hasn't been mentioned. But it has been mentioned. Do you know what it took for this woman to enter that Pharisee's house? Do you think she didn't know what people were going to say about her? Do you think for a moment that they were going to, well, we know where she got the money for that? There's a phrase about someone being as nervous as someone in church. I'll allow you to fill in the blank. She knew that was coming, and she did it anyway. And she humbled herself before Christ, cried on his feet, and wiped them with her hair. I got to tell you right now, I can't imagine that. I can't imagine the circumstance where If I cried on someone's feet, I would take my hair and wipe them off. Guys, they weren't wearing socks and shoes. This was dirty business. And she does it with her hair. Do you know what that was? It was her doing something. But Christ saw her faith. She believed who he was. She understood who she was. She's not crying for Simon the Pharisee. She's crying for herself. She knows she's a sinner. She knows she's before the Lord. Remember what Peter says when Jesus first reveals himself to him. He says, "Away from me, Lord, I am a man of sinful, I am a sinful man." Isaiah says the same thing when he's presented with the Lord. "I'm a man of unclean lips." This woman's faith was in her actions, in her tears. Her faith and her repentance rolled down her face. So when faith comes, forgiveness comes. She knew and trusted that everyone else there might treat her terribly. Jesus would welcome her. Jesus would welcome her. I don't know what your life is like right now today. I don't know if you're hiding secret sin. I don't know if you're not a Christian. I don't know if you're afraid to become a Christian. But let me tell you this right now. Jesus will welcome you, and he will forgive the one who has faith. Write it down. It's the story of the gospel. So Jesus turns his question on Simon. Simon's questioning who this man is not the Christ. He's not even the prophet. He's not even a prophet. So Jesus, knowing this, because of course he is the prophet, because he is the Christ, turns his fire on Simon. And he asks him a question about sin, about price, and about forgiveness. And this takes us to the rest of the account. Verse 41 of Luke chapter 7. Now this is Jesus asking Simon a question, remember. It says, "A certain money lender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. For those of you who are in our Bible study class, we know we just talked about this last week, similar to Matthew 18 in the parable of the unforgiving servant. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning towards the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Now before we talk about this great forgiveness, did you notice you can't make people happy without faith? You can't make them happy. Well, he didn't even know this woman's, she's as sinful as the day is long. He doesn't even know it. Then he forgives her sins. She's clean of sin. They're unhappy about that. They're unhappy when he's talking to a sinful woman. They're unhappy when he's talking to a sin-free woman. Why? They don't believe who Jesus is. Why did they not anoint his head with oil? They didn't believe he was the Christ. You know what that word means, right? Messiah, the Hebrew word, means anointed one, from which we have in the Greek Christ. To anoint someone as king was to anoint their head. This woman took that same expensive ointment that would have been used to anoint a king and anoints the feet of Jesus. Maybe not worthy in her mind to anoint his head. Maybe not worthy to bother the master. But her faith, seen in her actions, led to forgiveness from Jesus Christ, and that forgiveness led to love. That's the point of the story. That's what Jesus is saying to Simon. Here's the problem. None of us realize we're really as sinful as we are. It's just not possible. We'll never know. We just won't. Because all we know is each other. And don't take this the wrong way, but we don't know God. We know God. We know who God is. We know what God has revealed to us. But do we really understand the holiness of God? No, we just can't. It's not capable for us to do it. Everything short of that bar is sinful. Everything short of that bar is sinful. Everything short of that bar, we deserve to be cast from the presence of God. Unapproachable light God dwells in. That means if I have darkness in me, I cannot approach Him. Now, of course, that problem has been solved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Here's a little advertisement for you. Please come to our Sunday morning Bible studies starting the second week in January as we study how that works in the book of Romans. If you've never studied that, it'd be a great study, hopefully a great study for you. So this man Simon, I'm sure, first of all, we don't know who Jesus really is forgiving the most here. Right? We're assuming it's the sinful woman, but we don't know that it's not Simon because the woman believed, the Simon did not believe. Unbelief is sin. Unbelief is something from which we should repent. This man, as far as we know, went from beginning of Luke chapter 7 to the end of Luke chapter 7 unbelieving. But the woman believed. You could see her faith by what she did. Jesus forgave her. And the point is, she loved much. What's the lesson? We all should love much. There's not a one of us who can live perfectly. Through works of the law will no man be justified. There's your Romans 3:20. We're not capable of it. One man lived perfect. Jesus the Christ. God made he who had no sin to be sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. So unless you're going to claim to be the Lord and Savior, unless you're going to equate yourself with God and say, I, like the Son of God, have kept the law, God, you have to let me in, then we have fallen short of the bar, and every one of us needs more forgiveness than we can ever imagine. And once we realize that we are forgiven, we should love. What do you think there was that Jesus could ask this woman to do that she would not do? First of all, I am proud of every one of you today. It was a tough deal getting in here. I'm nervous about you going in the parking lot. You want to know the truth about it. But you came. Thank you for that. You know why you came? Because you were forgiven by faith. Your faith leads you to forgiveness. I have faith. Jesus forgives. And once Jesus forgives, I love. That's the Christian life. That faith and love are not just esoteric things. They are things that can be seen in our actions. The sinful woman's faith could be seen in tears and wiping and kissing. How is my love shown? How will I show God I love Him today? Do I believe God is? Do I believe He rewards those who diligently seek Him? If I do, and I understand my forgiveness and I love Him, why won't I seek Him today? What keeps me from telling somebody about Jesus today? Look at the last verse in verse 50. Jesus says to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. He could have said love there. That was the point, right? That was the question he asked Simon. Who loved more? Why does she have peace? Because she has forgiveness. How did she get forgiveness? Through faith. Do you see where this sinful woman is every one of us? Do you see how the same order of operations that saved her and allowed her to have peace with God allows us to have peace with God? Let me tell you something. If you're tempted to think of yourself as the Pharisee in this, that's a dangerous place to be. That's what 1 John 1 is talking about. 1 John 1 is talking about if I say that I have no sin, I make him a liar. The man who comes to God in pride and says, oh, I have very little to be forgiven of, Lord. I do and keep and do all the right things. And I just need a little touch of that grace, just a drop of grace to get me over the threshold, Lord, and I'm right there with you. That man will not be saved. He who is first will be last. He who humbles himself will be exalted. This is the constant lesson of Scripture over and over and over. There is a God, He loves me. I should seek him. He will reward me. I have sin. I need to be forgiven. When I understand how much I've been forgiven and the price that was paid, I should love and love and love. Because I'm at peace. There's only one thing that can bring the peace that we need, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. We talk about it over and over and over again. Jesus in Matthew chapter 26 says, "This is my blood of the new covenant for the forgiveness of sins." The way our sins are forgiven, the cost of that forgiveness is the blood of the pure Lamb of God, Jesus Christ himself. So faith begats forgiveness. Forgiveness begats peace and joy and love. So when we get to Acts 2:38, is there any confusion about what the order of operations is? There should not be. What comes first? Faith. What comes next? Forgiveness. What comes after that? Love and peace and joy. If you're not a Christian, you may not even realize how filthy you are. You may not even realize how far you fall short of God. If that is who you are and where you are, that's a dangerous place to be. That's why Jesus told the story. Because notice, even if you think of the Pharisee and you think, well, the sinful woman is the woman with the bigger number. I only owed 50 days' wages. 50 days' wages is still enough sin to send us to hell. 50 days' worth of sin is still more than we can pay. So even if you think of yourself as only sinning a little, it's more than you can stand. And the thing that forgives one thing forgives the other. And it costs Jesus no less to forgive 50 days' wages than it does 500. It costs God no less, the blood of his son. So when Peter preaches the first gospel sermon, he's dealing with faith and forgiveness and peace. And how does he say to do that? You know the scripture, right? Peter answers and says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Do you know why you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? Because you've been cleansed, because you've been forgiven. The only reason you'll ever repent is because you have faith. And when you have faith and you repent and you're baptized, The water doesn't wash away our sin like some kind of bath. When I'm baptized, I become the kind of person God will forgive. When I'm baptized, I become the kind of person God will forgive. It's God who forgives. It's Jesus who forgives. It's not water that forgives. It's Jesus forgives. The only real question is, who will he forgive? This is where it gets down to the nuts and bolts, right? Am I one of the people he will forgive? Do I believe that God is, and I believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him? Do I believe Jesus is the Son of God, the Christ, the Anointed One? Do I believe God raised him from the dead? Am I willing to serve him? Am I willing to come into his kingdom and do what he asks and say, "Lord, not my will be done, but yours"? You know when God knows I'm that person? When I submit to Christ, and I'm baptized, and I crucify the old man of sin and death, and I rise to walk in newness of life, forgiven and at peace with God because of the blood of his son. What's better than that? Do you love Jesus? If you don't love Jesus, it must be because you don't understand what he's done for you. Or you've not brought yourself into right relationship with him. One of the two. But if you have let your tears fall down and the repentance come down your face like this woman, and you have said to him, said to Jesus, "Whatever it takes, whatever ridicule I have to get through to get to Jesus, I will do it." And he turns and says, "Your sins are forgiven. Go be in peace." What will you not do for Jesus? We're starting a new year, not today. But we're starting a new year. We've had a wonderful year. I will not preach this sermon. Don't worry. But it's been fantastic. God has blessed us. Amen. Amen. God has been so good to us this year. I'll get excited. I'll have to stop. But I will tell you this. We need to begin to look outward. We put our house in order. it's now time to have a year of evangelism. We are in order. We have men in those positions that we need them. We are who we are. We've grown. God has blessed us. Now we've fixed the ship. Let's put it to sail. Let's get out on the seas and tell others about Jesus, because we love him, because we've been forgiven like this woman. If you've never become a Christian, we want that for you. We want you to be forgiven. We want you to know the peace of God that passes understanding, because you have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian and you've fallen away and you've forgotten how much Jesus has done for you and you need to come back, you can, in tears if necessary. In prayer, we will pray with you. If you need help in any way, come forward as we stand and we sing.